You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Chuck.
Sports Hangover is back, hour number three. Coming up, Jason. Coming up in, give me about 10 minutes or so, we'll talk about the jersey that is hanging up on the top here. In about 10 minutes, we'll retell the story as we are live at the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3204 17th Street, as we continue to talk about the Saints' next slate of four games. Looking at the seasons, looking at the quarter end seasons, looked at the first, of course, set of games as well, and started looking at the Redskins, Ravens, Vikings, and Rams here as well, and gonna now take a look at what LA could be doing. They're gonna be taking on the Saints on November 4th, 3:25 kickoff. Joe Curley joins us, covers the Rams now and the NFL for the Ventura County Star. You can follow him over on Twitter at VCS Joe Curley. Joe, thanks for joining us this afternoon, man. How are you?
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys. Getting there almost towards the beginning of camp here. Time to get back from vacation.
I know. Hard to believe when you think about it. 2 weeks from today, we'll be talking, at least here in New Orleans, first, you know, Saints practice will be in the books for training camp. We spoke with Fred Smoot a little bit ago with the Redskins. Dude, he made the NFC East look pretty daunting and tough as well. We know what the NFC South could sort of be like, three teams in the postseason last year. I see some folks still also feeling in the latest, rankings. You know where we are. Everyone's ranking the toughest competitions. And there's a lot of NFC West love going out there with the addition of Garoppolo as well. How do you see your division out there with the Rams and everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the beginning of potentially, you know, one of the best rivalries in the NFL. Not the beginning of the rivalry, but maybe a new era of the rivalry with what the two teams have with the Rams and the Niners and the coach and the quarterback and their ability to put up points and how both teams are kind of putting. I see the two of them are kind of in lockstep. The Rams are maybe half a year ahead of the Niners, but the Niners are right there on their hip, and it really seems like it's going to be the two of those teams for the next 4, 5, 6 years.
You know, it's crazy. Following the offseason and going into the draft, you would have thought the Rams were a three-win team last year with the way they attacked, you know, trades, free agency, the works. Were you surprised with how aggressive they were, or was it kind of locked on par with what they were trying to do and try to increase their talent? But they were busy.
Yeah, it's been wild. There's not many franchises that have had an offseason like this. And I think the reason why it's surprising is because when you talk about the Rams, you talk about the new stadium and the move and everything, I think a lot of people assume that everything was going to be kind of positioned so that they were going to be a potential Super Bowl contender when they went into the new stadium in a couple of years. And the fact that they were a legitimate Super Bowl contender last year. You know, same with the Saints. I mean, when we got to January and the NFC itself was loaded. I mean, I think any of the teams that made the playoffs in the NFC really could have put together a run, and I think that's, you know, what makes this so difficult to predict going forward is that, you know, the NFC is certainly kind of the big dog of the conference. It's beginning to look like the Western Conference in the NBA. The level of competition is going to be really tough to predict. You've got, you know, I would say probably six of the best eight teams or seven of the best 10 teams in football are in the NFC, and they're Super Bowl contending ready now, and certainly the Rams and the Saints are two of those teams.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, you hit it right on the head. I know here, and obviously you can imagine Pelicans fans know all too well what the Western Conference is like, and all they had was, you know, added LeBron now to go over there in L.A. But it's true. You look at it, and it starts with the position of quarterback. I mean, we were talking to Fred Smoot with Washington. They had Alex Smith, the guy that, you know, they're in the playoffs, and we saw San Francisco make a big play and knock the Saints out the postseason a couple of years back. But look, with golf, what he was able to do last year, did he surprise a lot of people, or was that exactly why they drafted him as high as they did, and there were really no surprises?
Well, I mean, I think you could argue for both. Certainly he surprised everybody when you consider the first glimpse he gave the NFL.
Right.
Anybody that saw him just play, you know, you thought that, you know, things were going to be, you know, rough, you know, that people were already bringing up the bus talk. But I mean, you know, certainly, you know, I think his performance last year, you know, not only gained kind of the trust of the Rams fans, but really it showed to me the number one symptom is that it just shows, you know, the quality of coach that Sean McVay is and that staff. And,
right.
You know, that's where Rams fans are right now. I mean, it's a year into the relationship and Sean McVay can kind of do no wrong. I think it really is becoming, you know, just talking about the quarterback, it's a huge year for this quarterback. I mean, last year he proved that he could play in the NFL. But this year he needs to prove that he can continue to, you know, do not only do it again, he needs to be better in his third year. And I think that if Jared Goff is able to take another step forward and be an even better NFL quarterback, be more consistent, be more productive, that's what's really going to make the Rams a legitimate Super Bowl contender, maybe even favorite. You know, once this group really takes another step forward, which you got to believe they have it in them because they are so young and they've added such talent on both sides of the ball.
Joe Curley of the Ventura County Star covers the Rams in the NFL at VCS. Joe Curley's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Yeah, 3,800 yards for him, 28 TDs, but also helps when you got a guy named Todd Gurley, man. 1,305 yards, 13 TDs for him. How much better can he be this year?
Well, I don't know if the numbers can get any better, but, you know, if he just is able to put up, I think you'd take the same year you got last year out of Todd Gurley. You know, I think now we kind of get into other storylines of last year, the fact that the Rams are very healthy, the fact that even though they didn't have much beyond Todd Gurley was able to kind of handle, that stress, and they were really able to manage his touches. There was a lot of times in the middle of the season last year where Rams fans were upset that Todd Gurley wasn't getting 25, 30 carries because it ended up being super smart what the Rams were doing. They were not just managing him as a ball carrier, they were managing him as a blocker. His ability to pass block was kind of a sneaky, and the receiving got a lot of coverage last year, but they needed him as a pass blocker in some situations too. He deserved that Offensive Player of the Year award simply because of the effect he had in all three phases everything that the coaching staff asks a running back to do. He wasn't just carrying the rock, he wasn't just catching it. He was pass blocking. He was leading, and it really was an impressive thing to watch.
Right, Joe. How excited is the team on the addition of Brandon Cooks?
I it's going to be interesting to see. I think he fits the offense better than Sammy Watkins. It leaves maybe a little bit of a hole or a question mark of what they're going to do in the red zone. The one problem that this offense had last year was its efficiency in the red zone. They were kind of low in touchdown numbers for such a high-scoring offense. And Sammy Watkins was their best red zone receiver or their best red zone weapon. And so certainly Brandon Cooks, offers even more of a high score, between the 20s type of player. Somebody's going to take the top off the defense, somebody who's going to give Sean McVay, you know, the similar players that he had in Washington when they had multiple guys with 1,000-yard receiving So I think it's going to make the offense more productive from a yard standpoint. I don't know if it's going to make them, you know, I think the question is going to be what are they going to do in the red zone. But I think really the offense has a chance to be more explosive. The question is whether or not it's going to be more productive.
Yeah, that's crazy because I would think to me, like I'm trying to look back at last year, and the Rams were one of those offenses that put up points. They were explosive kind of looking from that perspective, but man, that defense is silly. It got stronger again this year. It's crazy to ask. Is that the strength? Or is it a silly question to even ask you, Joe? I mean, that's the strength of this team, right? The defense?
It's amazing. You know, I said that out loud the other day when I was working on some of my preview stuff. I'm like, you're talking about the number one offense in football from a scoring perspective returning. They return 10
right.
of 11 starters, and what the new guys, Brandon Cooks, who may or may not be
right.
an upgrade over Sammy Watkins. But yet, you look at that defense, this team, you have to expect this team to be better simply because there's got to be games where the defense is going to win them some games. I mean, when you've got bookend corners like they've got, we're going to have to figure out if the NFL has seen, a defensive front like this group.
Right.
You know, Aaron Donald's obviously the returning defensive player of the year. Ndamukong Suh, you know, arguably one of the top players in football on the defensive side of the ball for years. And then the thing people can't forget about is Michael Brockers is also a really high quality defensive lineman. So you've got three plus players in all of those positions. And, you know, when you put the defensive line together with that secondary, I mean, it really is a modern defense built to have success against, you know, some of these great offenses that they're going to see in the NFC. I mean, it really is a defense built wary of this Niners offense that's budding with Garoppolo and the coaching staff and everything they've got coming up there. So, you know, we're all, you know, kind of waiting to see what it looks like on Sundays. But it looked real good in OTAs. You know, it looked real good in minicamp. And you put those two sides together, there's no wonder the expectations are through the roof for this team.
Yeah, no doubt. Got a couple of tough games, obviously, before you get over to New Orleans or host, obviously, take on the Saints, hosting Green Bay, at San Francisco, at Denver, at Seattle, Minnesota as well. But we just talked about the NFC is just difficult as it is. So what is the expectation level? What would be a good, successful season for the Rams? Is it getting past that initial first-round game and not losing like they did to the Falcons? But is it the NFC Championship game? Is that what the talk is over there? You mentioned Super Bowl contender at times.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the storyline in this training camp is going to be expectations. Obviously, the thing about last year was not much was expected out of this team, and they blew the expectations out of the water. How are they going to respond to, you know, people thinking that this is a team that, you know, should play in the Super Bowl? I think that they've got to be, I think they're the third favorite to win the Super Bowl. They're certainly a top five team, in terms of, people expected to get there, teams expected to get there. I think from an expectation level for the fan base, I think a successful season would mean, you know, defending the division title, winning a home playoff game, perhaps after a bye. I think that's maybe the expectation level I'm going to set, you know, going into training camp, because especially the way this NFC looks, it's really hard to kind of hold a team, even, you know, a quote unquote super team or, you know, whatever you want right. to define this team, the way that they did in the offseason. It's really tough to ask any of these teams, they have to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC because that playoff is going to be rough. But when you consider they went to the playoffs last year, they lost a home playoff game, you know, before this team shuts down the Coliseum and moves on to that new stadium, I think you got to really strive to give these fans a home playoff game, home playoff win, and a shot to really, you know, make a run to the Super Bowl. I think that's what would make the fans happy.
Joe Curley covers the Rams and the NFL for the Ventura County Star. Follow him personally on Twitter at VCS Joe Curley. Appreciate your time this afternoon and for joining us here. And I know the season's around the corner. It should be fun, man. It should be a fun season when you think of the talent in the NFC and just what the competition level is going to be like, man. It should be an interesting NFL season in 2018.
That's right. LeBron who?
well, at least until October, right? And then the Pels have to get all into it, man. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it, bud.
Anytime. I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Thanks.
Yep, for sure. Think of covering LA sports right now, right? I mean, Jordan, I mean, think of that. LeBron, the Rams, but we talk about the Saints schedule. Rams open up Monday night at Oakland. The Raiders are not going to be a bad team, okay? Then they host Arizona, new quarterback there. Okay, I'm going to go Rams with the win. A lot of people are picking the Chargers to make some noise in the AFC, right? Haven't you seen a lot of people, Jordan, picking the Chargers to make some noise?
Yeah,
at least
like
be a playoff team.
This is the surprise team of
yeah,
the year.
Yeah, exactly right. So then they host Minnesota at Seattle, at Denver, at San Francisco, host Green Bay, at the Saints before they host Seattle and Kansas City. I mean, again, there are a handful of NFC teams that are good. I mean, you just heard the roster breakdown. I mean, 10 of 11 offensive starters are back. The new guy is Brandon Cooks. I mean, he's not terrible. We can make fun of him, but he's not terrible. They just added to that offense. They were the number one scoring offense in the NFL. Their defense, ridiculous, but I just read your schedule. I wouldn't be surprised if the number one seed is 12 wins or less. I don't think you see a 14-2 or a 13-3 team as the number one seed this year. I just don't in the NFC.
This league is just full of stacked
teams. NFC. The NFC absolutely is. He said it right. Joe said it right. It's the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I don't see 14-2. Who's going 14-2 in the NFC?
We're definitely not going to have three teams with over 10 wins this year.
I mean, I don't see 14-2 in the NFC. 13-3 is, you know, I mean, I think you're going to see teams battling, as I said, into the tie-breaking scenario to just make the postseason. And I bet you it wouldn't surprise me if a tiebreaker results as to who hosts in the first round and who gets byes. I'm serious.
Like, that schedule that I'm looking at,
that's
I don't know who they, like, I know the Rams are a great team, but.
Right.
Maybe you could pull one off in Los Angeles against the Chargers.
Right. Minnesota's going to be a battle. Seattle, Denver, San Francisco.
You don't know what they're going to do.
Well, I mean, again, you know, it's that list that we saw from ESPN had the NFC West as the. I mean, they play Philadelphia too this year before playing Arizona and San Francisco to wrap up the year. Chicago, Detroit, the rest of that schedule. So we'll take a quick break. We're live at the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street, raffling off some tickets, three sets of front row seats for the fight this weekend over in the Lakefront Arena. We'll do that as well, and when we come back, we'll talk about why there's a Brother Martin jersey hanging high and proudly right over our table here inside the dining room area and the bar area of the Harbor Bar and Grill. We'll touch on that. Rafael Esperanza, he's got a burger. Was that sweet potato fries? Is that what you went with? Look at you, the healthy element.
Is there any bacon on that burger?
There's no bacon on that burger.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of cheddar, and that is a big patty. Now it's coming after the show. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's not unusual to watch the news only to find the Dow Jones has dropped 500 points or more. This market volatility on Wall Street has many investors and savers questioning their long-term strategy. They are looking for stability. That's why it makes sense to check out the CD interest yields at SL Bank. Great rates, safety, and stability you need. Take a look at our CD rates today. You'll like what you see. SL Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender. LaRose, North LaRose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Parents who let their kids drink need to know that alcohol is the worst drug of all for kids. Part of the reason is parents think
it's the safest drug, or they don't think it's a drug at all. The truth is, alcohol kills more kids than all illegal drugs combined. Traffic crashes are the number one killer of teens, and over one-third of teen traffic deaths are alcohol-related. Brought to you by the Prevention Partnership, South Central Louisiana Human Services Authority, and the Louisiana Partnership for Success Project.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Being beat up and battered around.
Welcome back. 3024 17th Street, Upper Ridge Lake, next to Lakeside Mall. You know where the Harbor Bar and Grill is. Charlie's eating a burger. Rafael Esparza, the burger's next to him. He's waiting to come on. We'll chat with him a little bit here about, I guess, some of the odds in the NFC. But one of the things that was interesting when we came in, we talked with Jason of the Harbor Bar and Grill when we first got here at Jordan. And he's a Rumble guy. His dad, Gary's coaching football now over at Brother Martin. So I was like, yay, go Saters. And then I noticed above me there's a 17 jersey. 17 is also good because it's the best number ever. It's my birthday, January 17th.
Stop it.
Right? So 17 is the best number. But the fact that there's a Brother Martin jersey above where we're broadcasting is awesome. Tim Benedetto, did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, so apparently we got the logist of the story. There was a bet made at some point in time here at the Harbor Bar and Grill. Rummel, Brother Martin being bantered about in the bar area, beverages flowing. And I see the Brother Martin jersey is up, so it must have won. Kind of what happened here.
Yes. I'm very ashamed to say that sometimes in my life I'll make horrible decisions. Going to law school was one of them.
Okay.
But making a bet with Gary, you know, the prior year we made a bet. It was a $50 cash bet, Brother Martin Rummel. Didn't go my way. It was a heartbreaker.
Yep.
Then, of course, this year, drinks were flowing after another wonderful day at the law offices of Workers' Comp LLC.
Okay.
No shame in self-promotion. Shout out to Comp Man. But we're here. We're drinking. This is the night before the LSU-BYU game. It's been moved to New Orleans, and Gary dares me to make a bet with him. Now, bear in mind, at this time of the year, Rummel's nationally ranked.
Right.
Brother Martin's barely putting 7 points on every game. And
right.
So I said, you know, what the heck?
Here it goes.
So, yeah, we bet. I bet, very slim bet, that if Brother Martin were to beat Rummel, I'd get my jersey hung on the wall forever. And did Gary tell y'all what would have happened if I lost?
He kind of mentioned that some ink would have happened. Now, we don't know where that ink would have been, but you're not – I don't see a sleeve or anything. You're not the tattoo person.
No, not particularly.
So it would have been your first tat?
Yeah, it would have been the first tat. We'll go with that.
Uh-huh.
But yes, the ink would have gone on someplace that very few people would see.
Right.
But probably the more damning thing was that the ink would have been put on that part of my body in front of everybody at the harbor on the pool table.
It would have been a live tattoo.
It would have been live stream, Facebook.
No.
We got to do this.
See, Brian and Ola East back in the day, because I would mind having like my son's birthday or something like that on me.
Sure.
Like, I'm definitely afraid of needles. He's like, dude, we'll do it. And a tattoo place actually contacted the show, said, we'll do it. We'll do it live on this show. And I chickened out. So,
wow.
But yeah, but no, I mean, there's some people that wouldn't mind doing it live. But you were going to do it in front of people on the pool table in front of where we are.
Well, now I'm a man of my word, right?
Yeah. And so you would have done it.
And we entered into the agreement, however inebriated we may have been. And, you know, Gary did right. not hold back telling the patrons of the harbor that the bet was made.
Right.
For, you know, the 2 month period leading up to the game, every time I'd come up, you know, I was the idiot who made the bet with Gary.
Yep.
So there was a lot of hype. So, of course, when Brother Martin pulls up the upset of the victory,
yes.
I was very relieved.
Last second
upset. Now, granted, Rummel was a little beat up that week.
Hey,
so
it doesn't matter.
We had stole one from him. So yeah. it was a good day in my life, and no more tattoos because of the win.
That would have hurt in more ways than one, putting an R on the backside of
it. Would have, and it's a little disappointing now that Gary's at Brother Martin, and it kind of takes some of the glory and the pain out of the win now that he's proud to have the jersey hanging up.
But use the F word. Forever.
Forever.
We put a Brother Martin jersey in a Rummel house forever.
Perpetuity.
Tim, I envy you, Tim.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. It was
get invited back to, like, the career day. I went once. They won't invite me back. We put a Brother Martin jersey in a Rummel house. It's good work, Tim.
Very, very proud of myself, but thank you. That's probably one of my life's crowning achievements.
Exactly. Well, thank you for stopping by, man, and telling the story.
Yes, thanks for having me on.
And go Saters.
Yes, sir. Go Saters forever.
See, there you go. Saint Paul.
Go Wolves.
No, whatever. Let's bring in, oh no! He's about to eat the burger. I was gonna say, come on, just give me 2 minutes of your time, you can come back and eat. Rafael, no, come on. We'll give you just 2 minutes, and you can go back and finish the burger. I just got to ask you real quick. I know we normally talk to you on Friday, but you're in and around the area, so you decided to stop by and say hi.
Yeah. You told me you were buying lunch,
yes.
So I came by.
There you go. And the burger's right there, and he just cut it in half. He was about to bite into it. So we'll just – look, the segment ends in 3 minutes anyway. So – but we've been talking with Fred Smoot for the Redskins, and we just talked to Joe Curley of the Rams. Dude, I pulled up their schedule. So I made the bold statement – ready? I think that the number one seed in the NFC is 12-4.
I can see that.
What do you have as like the top seed in the NFC?
I mean,
what are the odds that you, okay, I guess I would have to phrase it like this.
Everyone loves the Rams. They're all over.
Did you see that schedule?
Yes.
I mean, it's at Oakland, and I think the Raiders are going to be a decent team this year.
No?
You say no? Okay. Arizona, rookie quarterback. Good luck. That's a win. Why are people feeling the Chargers are a team in the AFC to look out after?
I think just because one of these days they're going to be completely healthy. They're going to have a healthy season, and I think this could be the year that maybe they can take that next step. And I think they realize that the Raiders are not going to be the same Raiders.
Okay.
Gruden, Arizona took not one step back, but like four or five steps back with road quarterback. So I think that's why.
Then it's Minnesota, and then three games on the road. Seattle, Denver, San Francisco. A lot of people love Garoppolo. Then it's host Green Bay. A lot of people saying Aaron Rodgers and the Packers can make some noise.
Best quarterback in the league.
There you go. See, Jordy had turned. I'll give you your minute here in a second. And then it's at the Saints, host Seattle, Kansas City, at Detroit. I mean,
their schedule's brutal.
I just don't see 14 wins from anybody in the NFC. Or 13.
I think this year it's wide open, I think. I mean, the years in the past, okay, we've had, okay, New England. I mean, New England's, I mean, they have so much. When can we actually talk about a football season coming in with so many negatives coming out of New England instead of positives?
100% agree.
So I think this year we're going to see maybe a team that surprises everyone that makes that big playoff run. I don't see a clear Super Bowl favorite like we've had in the past.
All right, Jordan the intern here, he cannot stand the argument that Rodgers is better than Breeze left or right. He did homework for three nights in a row. He's going to hit you with some numbers.
Hit you with some knowledge.
And I just want your reaction.
All right, so first off.
Who's taller?
Who's taller?
You have that number in there?
Of course Aaron Rodgers is taller. Well, okay.
Breeze needs a step stool just to look over the...
Exactly, so which is why he's so much better. He's okay. Smaller and he's better. Rodgers, he got to be groomed by the best in Brett Favre. All right, so let's go to the stats.
Whoa, Brett Favre is the best now?
By one of the best.
Hey, again,
by one
I'm
of the
just,
best.
Look, I'm just letting him talk. This is his homework
right.
For 3 weeks. Go ahead.
Drew Brees started in 248 games. Aaron Rodgers, 142. They both were drafted. One was 2001, one was 2005. Rodgers didn't start till 2008. Drew Brees started the next year. All right, so let's go to completion rate. 6,222 completions for Drew Brees, 3,188 for Aaron Rodgers. Completion percentage, 66.9 for Brees, 65.1 for Rodgers. So right there, in that stat line alone, Drew Brees has had double, and he's had more completion.
He had more completion rating.
He has a better completion rating. He has a better completion rating.
Single Aaron or dating Aaron?
Uh-oh.
Because Aaron Rodgers is a big I mentioned this before. Some athletes are totally different when they have dating or married. Aaron Rodgers plays better when he's single.
Hey, but
we'll ask Charlie.
Drew Brees has been
better Tiger
longer.
Woods single or married. Yeah.
I understand the stats. The stats show that way. But what we discuss off it, I would love to see Drew Brees play with another head coach. I would love to see Tom Brady play. Because I think some quarterbacks are just system quarterbacks. They're not great quarterbacks, but one of the all-time greatest. They're just system quarterbacks. I think Tom Brady would not have these Super Bowl rings if he had a different head coach. I think Drew Brees might be a totally different quarterback or a player if he didn't have Peyton with them. I just think some quarterbacks are system quarterbacks. Some quarterbacks are not system quarterbacks.
I will say this. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. I'm not discrediting him, but I was surprised by the game-winning drives. Drew Brees having his number with 41 and Aaron Rodgers 17.
That is a surprise.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked. But here, this time, double check. He's got the belt, though. Drew Brees doesn't have a belt.
Yeah. Who's the more marketable?
Yeah.
Who's
the more marketable? That's by far, that's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, not even close.
He had that one good deal, though.
Not even.
So you don't like the NyQuil commercial where it shows Drew Brees getting off of a team bus on Manhattan Boulevard?
No.
I still, to this day, I don't know how that got approved on the editing board. First off, why is he on a bus? Right, going to the game, and then they show him getting off on the West Bank on Manhattan Boulevard. So clearly someone stole the bus and is driving it somewhere where it doesn't need to be going.
I wasn't living here. I did not steal that bus. I was not living here.
Why are you getting off in Manhattan Boulevard on the West Bank Expressway? The dome's the other side of it. Like, where is he going? Where are you bringing the starting quarterback?
It's funny how you mention that, because just some athletes, I just think, get horrible deals. I mean, LeBron James should be what Michael Jordan was when I grew up.
He's not. Can we talk about that tomorrow in your segment? You're right. Why is he not as marketable as Michael Jordan is? Why does he not have that massive
Drew Brees should be like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
That's another great deal.
He's doing NyQuil.
Now, again, is that something that maybe he and his people that maybe doesn't want to do that?
It could be, but it's still, I mean, if you want to be one of the greatest go down, I'm sorry, marketing and advertising is
and help Peyton
key.
Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning had a couple
of commercials.
He's
going to be the new CEO at Papa John's. Yeah. They need one.
You know what? They do. They do. And on that note, we'll see you tomorrow, Rafael Esparza. In his normal Vegas segment, we come back. We're going to speak with Lou DiBella. He's the promoter. See what I just did there? Promoter of the boxing match coming up over on Saturday as well. One of the promoters. And we'll touch on that. Look, we got three sets of two tickets we'll give away here as Charlie has got the buckets that normally would be used for buckets of beer. Jordan, the intern's about to do it. Let's do it live here before we go off the air for the break. Jordan, take one number. You got to pick three. Come on.
One at a time? Okay.
One at a time.
So we got one.
Got one.
We got two.
Got the second one.
Uh-oh.
One more for front row seats.
Uh-oh.
Come on.
Uh-oh.
We got to get to the break.
All right, I got
the number. There we go. So we got three winners here. We'll get the names here in a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk a little boxing with Lou DiBella as we are live at the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street in Metairie. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
is underway. You get caught up on all the action and details for all the races Fridays right here on ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, your locally owned Napa Auto Parts stores in LaFourche, Assumption, and St. Mary Parishes. Napa Auto Parts, sponsor of the Chase Elliott No. 9 car in the Cup Series. Get the expert analysis and latest news on Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series throughout the 2018 season every Friday on ESPN New Orleans. Adventure in...
Got fighters from the Bayou, right? The king of the Bayou. Baton Rouge, New Orleans as well. That's this weekend over at the Lakefront Arena. Lou DiBella, promoter, DiBella Entertainment here to talk a little bit about the fights coming up on Saturday over at the UNO Lakefront Arena. Lou, how are you this afternoon?
Good, Gus. It's good to be on a sports hangover, though. Today I woke up with an ordinary hangover after a night on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, I can imagine how that goes, man. How much excitement is there, man, to be bringing back this kind of boxing over to New Orleans in the Lakefront Arena? I've been seeing a lot of folks talk about getting the young kids back into understanding that there's a history of big boxing matches in New Orleans, isn't there, Lou?
Well, I mean, you know, one of the most historically significant fights ever, John L. Sullivan and James Corbett, before either one of us was alive, took place in New Orleans. And, you know, great fighters have fought here, like Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Ali. There is a history of big-time boxing, but there hasn't been a native New Orleans fighting for a world title in New Orleans in 55 years. So, you know, Regis is making some history on Saturday night, and I think we're going to have a real good crowd. I think the whole world's going to see that on ESPN and on international television. And I think that this is the first step in bringing, you know, New Orleans back into the upper echelons of boxing as a big-time boxing town. And if Regis keeps winning, I think Regis Prograis could be like a sports franchise for New Orleans.
Oh, no kidding. At Lou DiBella is the way to follow over on Twitter. What? Look, he's very charismatic. We've had him on the show several times here as well. I love the fact that when you speak to him as well, not only does he have his sights set, obviously, on being good and great and what he does in his craft, but he talks a lot about opening up the eyes once again onto New Orleans as to what they can do when it comes to boxing here in the area.
Well, you know, even though Regis trains out of Houston and now lives, you know, in that area, I mean, he's got New Orleans in his blood, period. In fact, he wears it on his chest. His whole chest is tattooed with New Orleans. And you know, he got displaced by Katrina. That's what brought him to Houston. And then in Houston, you know, right now in Houston, it's like one of the great boxing centers of the country, you know, with a bunch of world champions from that area. So he gets to train and spar with the best fighters in the world. But, you know, his whole drive, other than to be an undisputed world champion, is to make right. New Orleans a boxing capital again. So, you know, it's a great card on Saturday. He's fighting an undefeated opponent who can punch a kid named Juan Carlos Velasco from Argentina. There's an Honduran Olympian. He's an American kid, but fought for Honduras in the Olympics, and ESPN named him Prospect of the Year. Teofimo Lopez fighting in ESPN's opening fight. Charles Conwell, undefeated U.S. Olympian, is fighting on the card. And then a load of local fighters, Jonathan Guidry, the Fighting Fisherman, Jonathan Montrell, whose mom runs that great restaurant, Neo's, and there's Jeremy Hill. A bunch of local prospects from New Orleans are also on the card. So it's a great, like, boxing card of international significance
right.
with a lot of local flavor on it. People are not going to want to miss Regis's entrance, which is, you know, going to have a lot to, you know, very culturally tied to New Orleans. It's going to be a great fight card. The doors open at 3:00 at the UNO Lakefront Arena, and fights get started almost immediately thereafter. And it's going to be a great, you know, day and night of boxing. And I really hope people get their tickets. Call Ticketmaster.com. Go on the Ticketmaster's website or go to the UNO Lakefront box office on Saturday. Come out and support your champion, because Regis really, he represents for New Orleans, and I hope New Orleans comes out in force to represent for him.
You know, Lou, one of the things that I think is interesting too, you mentioned all the different undercards in there, title matches and fights, but you know, Manny Pacquiao right afterwards as well on ESPN. I think it's great, not only if you turn on ESPN and see, but the experience of that fight. I personally have never been to something like that, you know, in this area as well. So to your point, there's probably a lot of people that this is going to be their first time of seeing a handful of matches, seeing that interest and being a part of it. And Lou, there's nothing like seeing a live fight, is there?
No, boxing is one of those sports that just is way, way better when you're in the arena. And a boxing match of significance, particularly in a fighter's hometown, it's a great electric kind of environment. So I really like encourage people to come out, particularly if they haven't experienced it. You know, boxing fans that have been to big fights before, they know what they're going to see. But just ordinary sports fans or people that just like combat sports or casually interested in boxing, get out to the UNO Lakefront Arena on Saturday afternoon. Join us, and I guarantee you, you're going to experience something that's really exciting and great. And the entire undercard before the two ESPN main fights will be on ESPN Plus, the app. And then Regis's fight and the fight preceding it will be on your regular, ordinary ESPN. And then you have to get the ESPN Plus app to watch the Pacquiao fight after Regis. So it's going to go from ESPN Plus to ESPN back to ESPN Plus.
Sounds good. Lou DiBella of DiBella Entertainment, president of DiBella Entertainment, of course. At Lou DiBella is a way to follow on Twitter. Again, Ticketmaster is a way to go get your tickets to Lakefront Arena. You said, 3 o'clock's the doors, 3:30's the first fight, and then just stay with us in the evening, man, as we get ready to have a couple of title matches.
It's going to be a great night, and I look forward to seeing your listeners there. And thanks for the opportunity to chat with you, Gus.
Yeah, for sure, man. I can't wait. I know we can't wait to get in there. And do I have to wear like shades, right? I mean, it's an event, right? I mean, how should I be dressing for this, Lou?
I don't know, man. You know what? It's an event, but it's nice to see me here in New Orleans. So just dress for comfort. and it's going to be hot in that room with all the action and you know all the battles and knockouts people are going to see. So just dress for comfort. Come and have a great time. I can tell you that I'm not allowed to talk about who's going to be there, but there are going to be celebrities all over the place in the audience, and people should come down and take the whole event in, because it's going to be a good time. And Regis Prograis really has the ability to be a superstar in boxing. He's got explosive power in both hands. He's a tremendously charismatic fighter, and like I said, he represents New Orleans well. I'm looking forward to this as a fan, not just as the promoter. I think this will be a great afternoon and evening of boxing.
That sounds good. Thank you, Lou, for a little bit of your time this afternoon, man. Look forward to it on Saturday evening.
Thank you.
There he goes, Lou DiBella, president of DiBella Entertainment, putting on the fights this weekend over at UNO Lakefront Arena. Why are you smirking over there?
I'm so hungry now.
What's over to your left?
Burger without bacon.
That is, I mean, the patty is so big on that burger, yet I look to my right and I actually have the galley.
Oh.
They gave me the galley.
Good luck.
I mean, I'm about to post the picture. It is just...
What's the record for eating that burger?
Oh, I mean, this is...
What's the record time?
This is going to take some time. I mean, it's just... For perspective's sake, I did put the burger next to my head and it's next to the Mac. So you can actually see it's a massive, massive burger.
All right. Should we just end the show right now? So
no,
we can start eating?
No. If I have to wait, you have to wait.
No.
Sports Hangover comes back. Charlie Ricks as well. The look on your face when they brought me. Do you see the size of this burger, the galley? That thing is massive. Anyway, we'll be back to wrap things up here from the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street in Metairie. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
winches, hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets. They also carry hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, super winches, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. They have a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire. They stock nylon, plastic, and knotless webbing. You've heard about the new webbing, Platina and Knotless Dyneema. Valerio Brothers has some of that, too. And they stock four different sizes of galvanized stabilizers. They also stock a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin, gel coat, and supplies needed for fiberglassing. Lost an anchor? Valerio Brothers stocks anchors from 5 to 100 pounds. Come visit Valerio Brothers before the season starts. That's Valerio Brothers at 894 Avenue A, West Vigo. 504-341-1843 and visit their website at valeriobrothers.com.
This is Mike Katie. If you love having the weekends to do special things, at Neil's Small Engine, you will find everything you need to keep your lawn nice and neat. We have Gravely and Skag Zero Turn Mowers, Echo, Shindawa, and Steel Trimmers, Blowers, and Chainsaws. Our showroom is the biggest in the South. So if you want the best products along with the best service, there's only one place to go. That's Neil's Small Engine Incorporated. We have three locations to serve you in Houma, La Rose, and Thibodeau. It's the best on the bayou.
The road to the big leagues goes through New Orleans, and it's baseball season at the Shrine on Airline. We've got giveaways, fireworks, fun promotions, and so much more. Tickets start at just $5. Every Thursday, bring your dog. And it's Thirsty Thursday with discounted drink specials. Fireworks are back every Friday. We also offer group discounts, and our suites and hospitality areas are available for groups of any size. For tickets and information, visit cakesbaseball.com. Baseball is back at the Shrine on Airline. Play ball.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Jambalaya Shop in Houma. We treat our customers like family. You can dine in, carry out our homemade jambalaya, gumbo, pastelaya, and more. The look no further than the Jambalaya Shop. Let the 8 feet 5 or 500 club of Jambalaya Shop do the cooking for you. Events like tailgate parties, school events, office parties, even the ballpark. Call the Jambalaya Shop today at 985-851-7725. Located at 1795 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houma, next to Ultimate Party. The Jambalaya Shop, where the secrets are.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover.
Sports Hangover with I love bacon.
Yeah.
And I heard next year less they'll be making.
What is this?
It's a bacon song for you.
I hate the bacon song.
At ESPN Radio, know is the way to chime in via social media each and every show. You can also, of course, give us a call, 800-998-1003. Tomorrow we will be over at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. I have to have a salad tomorrow, right? I mean, so I sent the picture of the galley burger to my wife, Raphael. My wife's birthday is the 4th. Raphael's 19th year of marriage anniversary is the 5th. We were talking about maybe doing something on the weekend. So I text my wife the picture of the burger, which, I mean, I don't know how to describe it other than I call it the gargantuan. It's called the galley. She texts me back. She goes, "God, don't eat that. You'll die." So clearly she looked
hopefully.
At my, I mean, maybe she's thinking being 42, I should, but that's what I told her. I said, it might be good for Carver if I can, you know, kick over, get the insurance money or something. But, dude, that is, I mean, you got ham, chicken breast. Joey just saw it. the amount of melted cheese that is coming off the pepper jack, that is coming off of the chicken patty is, I don't know how do you approach the burger? Like, how do you eat this? Do you cut it in the middle?
Just grab it with your hands. Just
there, no, it's an
entire. Squeeze it
okay,
down.
I would have to be like a vampire to unhinge my jaw like a rattlesnake or something to be able to eat that.
I could do it.
That's impossible. I don't think anyone can bite that.
I could do it.
No, it's not happening. You're going to have to somehow, I don't know, do I smush it? Do I try to cut it? I honestly don't know how to go about eating that.
How are you going to even cut it? That's what I want to know.
With a sword?
Yeah.
I don't know how you can go into it. A quick update on the LeSean McCoy story, which is getting odd, to say the least. So, remember what was it yesterday morning? Or was it two days ago? I think it was yesterday, right?
Yes, it was yesterday.
On Instagram, the picture of a beat up individual woman.
No, it was 2 days ago.
No, it was yesterday.
No, because that one was up the plane, of in the, with the plane.
No, guy. No, that's Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, but the one before that was the day before.
Either way, it was this week. And then on that day, it was the 10th, you're right. So, the house got broken into that she's staying at, that LeSean McCoy is apparently trying to evict her from. But this is in Milton, Georgia. And according to ESPN, the police reveal that LeSean McCoy's ex-girlfriend, Alicia Corden, believes McCoy's, the McCoys, may have set her up. Now, the report included a note 10 minutes after police arrived stating, the caller possibly thinks her ex-boyfriend set her up. Also included in the report, the description of the suspect being a black male of unknown age wearing a mask and dressed all in black. Corden also told police her neighbors had cameras outside the house. LeSean McCoy has denied the allegations, but somebody broke into the house, stole some jewelry off of her, beat her up. An odd story. Who knows what's going on, but if that picture is of that beating, it's wow. So, anyway, we'll see what continues out of that as well. So, Rafael Esparza had lunch today. We're going to talk to him tomorrow. Charles Oakley, have you seen this story? Mr. Vegas over here. Former New York Knicks big man Charles Oakley arrested in Las Vegas on Sunday for committing or attempting to commit a fraudulent act in a gaming establishment per the Nevada Gaming Control Board.
Back at it again.
He was arrested twice already, huh? He's suspected of adding or reducing his wager on a gambling game after the outcome was known. So apparently he pulled back a $100 chip after he realized he was going to lose his wager. There's one thing I do know, and I've never been on this trip. I don't get it, but I've seen enough movies. You know, Ocean's 11. I've seen all of those. There's cameras everywhere in Vegas. I mean, right? I mean, there are cameras everywhere in Vegas. The last thing you probably want, right? I mean, where you're placing your wager and your chips, there's like four cameras. I mean, there's one on the dealer. There's one on every seat. There's absolutely one on the table. So when you go, whoop, there goes the... You trying to bring back your chip? Yeah. So it's considered a Class B felony to do that. That's crazy. And Rafael goes, oh, yeah. So basically the moral of this story is do not cheat in Vegas.
No, it's don't get caught.
No, don't get caught. Stop. You know what? If we for any reason have to do a show in Vegas, you're not coming.
No.
With that. Yeah, that's right. You're not old enough anyway, so you can't come anyway.
I'll find my ways.
We took a look again at two of the teams in the four games. Tomorrow we'll be looking at Minnesota. Let's see if you remember the other one.
The Ravens.
The Ravens, the one team that Drew Brees have not been able to beat. It's at Baltimore. We'll talk about that as well. Rafael will join us. Jay Hargrave, of course. He was busy last week with Essence Fest. He'll be a part of the show tomorrow, though. So come on out, have a little lunch with us. And again, thanks to Jason, Gary, here over at the Harbor Bar and Grill. Come by and check him out, 17th Street, right next to Ridge Lake and Lakeside Mall. You can't miss it. You've probably been here already. You can try the Galley Burger. Matt Moscone at the Further View is up next on ESPN New Orleans.